Due to a recorder malfunction, only half of this teaching was recorded.
We're looking again at understanding grace. And we're in the dealing with the subject now of dealing with grace. We had started off dealing with saving grace and looking at, we had done some general things about grace, but then looking at saving grace. And now we're looking at the grace of God that manifests in our life. It's the power of God that allows us to live victorious in life. Say, thank God for saving grace. And really, much of the church world, I mean, that's as far as they go, the grace to be saved, and that's sort of where they stay at. But thank God there's grace to help us in every area of our life, and we're looking at especially living a life of victorious life, grace to help you, because in the world, Jesus said there's tribulation, or there's trouble in the world. He said, I've overcome it. Well, it requires grace to live that overcoming of those things. So it's hugely important. I mean, if God didn't give us his power to overcome, then we would be just stuck with human ability. I mean, that'd be it. So God shouldn't then expect any more out of us than he does a sinner. It would be, you know, sinners, when I was a sinner, I lived by my human ability. And boy, look what it did. I mean, it was a mess. But God gave us his ability, and we need to learn to respond to that. Now, we ended last week with the scriptures, which I'm going to go back and read in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and we're going to start at verse 10. That's 1 Peter 5. And Peter there said in verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, we're talking here about suffering. I didn't talk about that last week. This is not talking about sickness and disease. Paul's not talking about after you suffer sickness and disease, well, then God will heal you. That's not talking about this suffering here. He's talking about, the Bible tells us one of the things, if we live God in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. There's things that come along in this life too. We live in this world, and this is a fallen world. It's just like now, there's things that we suffer with here in our nation, and things go on, happen in this world because of its fallen nature and the people, and the fallen nature in this world. There's things that there's a suffering. It's not talking about sickness and disease, but things we put up with and deal with all the time. But here we find the God of grace. He said, you suffer a while. He said, he'll perfect you, establish you, and settle you. And so this is one thing that's really out. We need that grace, and to walk in the grace of being perfected and strengthened and especially settled. So many Christians aren't settled. And that's just because they don't have any peace. They're not settled. You know, they look at all that's going on around them. Everything disturbs them that's going on around them. They look and say all these things that are happening. Yeah, they're happening and they're not good, but we shouldn't be unsettled. What happens, people become unsettled because of lack of faith. They don't think God's big enough to take care of them. It's like God had dealt with me years ago, and when our daughters were going to start, when Alyssa was going to start school, she was going to be just beginning kindergarten, and I was considering sending her to a Christian school. Now, God's not against Christian schools, but one thing he is against is wrong attitudes of why people do stuff. See, loads of Christians don't really, they send their kids to Christian schools because they're afraid of the world. So you can't do that. Anything that's based on fear, you're in sin. See, God was trying to keep me out of sin. What he's doing, because see, I was in sin. I wanted to sin because I was afraid what happened to my daughter. She went to public school. And I'll never forget this when the Lord said, don't you believe, I mean, he was real clear with me about it, and I had to repent. He said, don't you believe I could take care of her in a public school? Well, see, I'd never talked to him about it. I would make my decision. You know, I'm Mr. Wisdom now, you know, and I don't need God to tell me what to do. I mean, I know the Bible. That doesn't mean God doesn't tell people to send their kids to Christian school. He may do that. But people need to be very careful. Why do we make the decisions? What is our fears? What are the things? Are we making decisions based upon faith or fear? I was making one on fear. Afraid of what was going to happen. When he said to me, don't you think I can take care of him? And I said, I had to stop and say, yeah, Lord, you can. But I wasn't acting in that direction, but I said, yeah, you can. I said, whatever you want me to do, I will do. And we sent him to public school. And I realize today there's putting up with a whole lot of different was back when I was going to school and that stuff. There's one thing today, they have very little interest in education, a lot of the places do. It's all about junk stuff. It's all about everything else going on around here and low level in of education. And kids are suffering through it. You know, kids are coming out of it, and you know, their chances of being successful in life are going to be very small. They're just, and it's a shame. You know, it's crazy. I mean, I was fortunate enough during the times in school when America used to lead in education, and today, there are third world countries who their children test higher in education than American kids do. It has nothing to do with money. American can throw all the money they want. We can throw our whole, everything our government has into schools, and it ain't going to give your kid a better education. That isn't how it works. Yet they think, you know, money solves all problems in America. Money's the... and it doesn't. This is why we as needs as Christians... we need to see what the world's doing out here. If they're failing at it and we're following the same motives, you're going to fail with them. You're going to fail also. You can't make it. We got to look at our, make decisions based on the truth. What's God telling us to do? And this is why grace, there's such a need for grace. God's ability. Because many times, just like with this, you know, you're going through stuff of problems. Many times a problem goes on, people start making decisions based on what the problem they see. And don't make their decisions based on, you know, there ought to be some kind of goal that you're shooting for, and the decisions ought to be made to get to that point. Decisions shouldn't be made because of the problem. And this is what we do today. We look at the problem, and well, if I do this, how can I solve this problem? But where's that going to, what you're going to do? Is you going to stop that problem? Is it going to make the problem go away, or what's going to happen? It's one thing is we need to know this. Grace will give you the ability not to, grace doesn't do this. Grace doesn't remove all bad circumstances. See, this is the falsity of faith in some of the faith teaching. If faith in God and yielding to grace changed all circumstances, Jesus would have never been crucified. But what grace does is give you the ability to keep walking and doing and living the life of God no matter the circumstances. You can go through things. There's things in life you're going to go through because you live in this world. You're going through. You can do all you want to pray. The idea was I could start to see this after I came in the kingdom. They started to teach as if you were really a person of faith, you wouldn't go through problems. And what happens that is it leads to people's failures because what happens, they face these problems. And I'm walking by faith, but things keep happening. And after a while, they quit. They say, you know, I'm messed up. There's something wrong to me. And then you have these preachers who preach like they never end up with problems. Like they never miss it. They don't even tell you all the stupid things they did. They don't tell you all the times they missed it. They make you believe that they were Mr. and Mrs. Faith and everything just worked out. And then they say, send me a check. See, I'm the guy that's perfect. You send me the check. See, if they're going to fix your problems, you got to live in glory like I do. No, everybody faces problems, go things. I remember Kenneth Hagin said, when I was a young Christian, I heard him say it, and I just put it right there in my mind to remember it. He said, great faith is developed through great trials, and if you haven't gone in through any great trials, you don't have great faith. And I thought, I got to remember that, because see, sometimes you're doing everything right, and you end up in a mess, and you've done everything right. Look, you don't have an enemy, just people. There's a Satan will do things to try to keep you from arriving where you want to go to. And you have to know that. See, when people get in their mind, well, something went wrong. What did I do wrong? Sometimes we didn't do a thing wrong. What did Jesus do wrong to get crucified? He never committed a sin. Yet he was crucified. You see, if he'd have fell into that trap, well, you know, I'll tell you, what if you just use your faith? Everything's going to work out great. Well, it didn't work out great. That wasn't what it's for. And so, number one, Jesus walked in grace to go to the cross. See, the Bible tells us he looked at it with joy. I thought, dear Lord, you need grace to look at what he went through with joy. You better have grace. Or other than that, you quit. You know, but he walked in it. And this is for us to understand. It's being able to go through things. Instead of drudging through life through things, we can face things like other people do, but we don't have to collapse and fall apart in it. We don't have to do that. There's one thing is I was always grateful, especially with my parents. That's one thing is I can sit back and look at my parents' life. Of going through situations and problems with life, I never saw them where they were like, you know, And I saw them go through some real stuff. But, you know, they didn't know a lot of things that I know in the Bible. They didn't know about the Spirit-filled life. They didn't know about, but going through problems in life, they lived like God was real. They didn't fall apart in all these things. I see people fall, Christians fall apart in today and can't handle. I watch Christians that can't handle stuff. They never did. They never did that. And, you know, to me, I look at that and say, you know, that I'm so glad I had that example that, you know, in life, because, you know, I learned from them is the fact when things get hard, you know, that's the time to get hard. That's the time to set yourself in a place. Hey, you know, we're going to be okay. We're going to go through this thing. We're going to deal with this thing, but we ain't quitting. We're not stopping. Why? Because there's grace and there's a God who's on our side. And I'm glad to have that. I really feel bad for a lot of kids because the average child today is growing up in an emotional home, not in a stable home, in an emotional home where people are just emotional. Their emotions are up and down all the time. And I feel bad for kids because they live in that. And man, I'll tell you, that is a wearing life because the adults can't make it work. And on the kids, it's worse. This emotions of things up and down and up and down. You got to keep a place of stability. You don't have that kind of stuff. You got to keep a place of stability because that stuff going up and down all the time, man, it wears you. I mean, I lived that life, man. It don't work. I was driven by that life. That's why I drink, because my drinking subdued my emotions. It would dull me. You know? There's a lot of people, you know, people talk about, I'll be all these people that are on drugs, man. They're trying to get calm, man. They're tired of living worn out. And I can understand where they come from. It's after a while, you just can't take it. They just don't realize you get over on drugs, and after a while, that dominates you. So now you got something else that's running you. But for a time for them, man, it makes it feel good. Man, when you live every day and you don't feel good, and you go on that year after year of don't feel good, and you never have any peace, or you're no rest in life, and you're just all the time, you're dogged. That's a hard way to live. And there's a lot of people in this world that are living like that. Some of it is devil-made, but some of it's man-made. Man follows his own ideas and thinking and stuff, and it wears you out. This is where we have grace. You can tell that. Grace will add something. Grace is going to do this. It's going to perfect, establish, and strengthen you. It's going to do that, and it's going to settle you. Hallelujah. Today, we need settling. Settle down. We need that. Grace will do that. Grace will settle things. He says, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. And then he said, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying, this is the true grace of God in which we stand. This is the true grace. True grace will do this. It'll perfect you. It'll establish you. It'll strengthen you. It'll settle you. If it isn't doing that, it's not grace. So I know a lot of what we have teaching today in grace is not God. It's man's ideas of grace. True grace settles you. True grace don't tell you, you can live like hell and get away with it. You will never be settled. You ain't going to happen. You ain't going to live a settled life like that. That is not perfection. Is perfection just sitting, living like you want to, and it's all okay? I mean, is that what it is? It says it'll establish you. It'll strengthen you. So, praise God. Expect these things out of grace. When you look into the Bible and grace is being revealed to us out of the Word, these are the things it'll do. It's not there to hurt you. It's not there to harm you. One thing is I found out this in life, that, you know, the things that are really good and the things you really want to get to, sometimes are the hard things to get to. It is. It's just the way it is. In life, it's like that. You know, to coast along easy can, you know, just don't do anything. But when you want to get a hold of something, and especially I find out things that, as we do it naturally in life, usually the things that are more valuable to people are lots of times the harder things to reach. Everybody wants them. Everybody sees what somebody did to get there. They see that, how they got reached there, and they want what they have, but they don't want to do what they did. See, as I found out this when I was a young Christian, as I studied and listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching, he talked about how God worked in him, and he would just share the scriptures and how God used those scriptures in his life and what he did. I came to the realization, if I want to end up spiritually where he was at, I'm going to have to start doing what he did. because you know what? You don't make your own way in life. We all follow the knowledge of somebody. You and I aren't Mr. Knowledge. I wasn't Mr. Knowledge. The knowledge was given out centuries beforehand of what to do. What I do is I follow the knowledge. And so I had a guy who was teaching the knowledge from this book and explaining how it worked in his life and what he had to do to get it. This is one thing as I found out. If you know a better way of getting it, then you ought to get up and be the preacher and explain in the Bible how you can get it really easier. But I only know the way that I've been taught from Scripture. I only know that way. But I found this out. It works. This way that I was taught works. If there is something better, please show me. I want to know. Don't you? If there's a way, if there's something better, please let us know. If there's an easier path to it, let us know. But I found out this is about faith. Faith doesn't become an easier path because faith is always not walking by sight. And that is always hard on people. That is something that is constantly hard on people, not walking by what you see. Amen. That's the hard part. And you know what? Sure. I just want to let you know, that's never going to get easier. You're going to always have to stay and say, the Bible says this, but everything I see is opposite to that. And the more I do what I see in this Bible, the more I do it, sometimes it seems more like I'm getting further away. Sometimes it seems like that. It can seem that way. But what I've learned over time, you just stay with the words. You just keep walking in the words. See, I won't. Number one, I set myself and I set a course. I will not change my word. I'm a person of my word and I keep it.
Amen.
It's more important to me to keep my word than anything else. More important. You know, I just dealt with a situation like that tonight. Didn't we, hon? And my daughter, you know, said something to me like, it's all right, you just go ahead. I said, no. I said, I gave you my word, and my word means more than anything else. I keep my word. Anything else, that's the most important thing. Because, see, number one, if you're not a person who is diligent about keeping your word, you will never be a strong person of faith. Never be. Never be. My word. Because my word is my integrity before God. If I can't be trusted with my words, ain't much God going to trust me with. That's why Jesus said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. See, learning to keep your words is a powerful, powerful thing. And, you know, as I told my daughter, you know, she said, oh, well, you didn't have to do such. I said, yes, I gave my word. I gave you my word, and that's what I'm going to do. Don't matter what else changes. Other things changed, but my word will not change. And I didn't get that because I was such a brilliant guy. I had a father who was like that. I got to see it in action. I grew up with a man who was a man of his word. My dad promised to do something, and you could, I'm going to tell you, it didn't matter what happened. That man would kept his word. Don't matter what happened. I'm just so thankful I got to be around people like that who had integrity. This is the loss today in the church. It isn't the teaching of faith. It's the teaching of integrity. The church has not. And faith is of no value without that integrity. There's no integrity. We have to, in areas, decide we're going to stay with our word. Hallelujah. Why? Because one thing you're going to stay in your integrity, this is one thing you're going to have to do. You've got to learn to lean on grace because it'll put you in situations where you would sure like to change, but you're going to say, no, I gave my word. I'm going to say, I'm going to walk. I'm going to follow what the word says. The Bible says this. That's the way I'm going. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm going to follow this. I'm going to walk. And everybody is saying, ah, come over here. You don't have to do none of that stuff. You can just come over here with us. And, praise God. Hallelujah. Grace works. Acts 4:33 says this. And it says, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says, and great grace was upon them. The demonstrations of power and grace. We need to see the grace and power run hand in hand. Grace and power. Acts 4:33. It says, and grace was upon them. They were said they had great witness to the resurrection of Jesus. They had power of the apostles. It says, great grace was upon them. So, grace was upon all of them. So we wouldn't understand this fact is when people watered down grace, when the church began to water down what grace was, we started having demonstrations of power in the church. the church world don't. Why? You can't water down grace. You can't make grace. Grace and power run in hand in hand. If you're preaching true grace, there'll be demonstrations of power. So you'll have that. See, we don't today. We don't see much of it anymore is because. Now, that's not just here. I mean, there's some places, it's like there's none. I mean, we have like Christopher Alam. He ministers in Asia and Africa a lot. Right now, he's ministering over in Africa. He goes over there and, number one, he's preaching in a place a lot of people are not born again and saved in the areas that he's in. They have all kind of troubles and problems. And he is an evangelist, but he preaches. He has all kind of demonstrations of power. I mean, they get thousands and thousands of people healed and manifestations, demons leaving people, all kind of stuff. They get those things going on. But he don't preach the grace that's preached in America. If he went over preaching the garbage of America, you wouldn't see none of that. You wouldn't have it. And see, he preaches, you know, sin's a problem you need to be saved from. It's not something you can live in and it's okay. Totally different. American grace. It makes a huge amount of difference. Now in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, Hebrews 13. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13. And while you're turning there, but we need to understand this. This is why we want to be strong in the grace of God. See, we're not going to yield to grace because grace, there's power in grace. There's power in grace to help you in your life. There's power in grace for demonstration, for ministry and things. You need to yield to that. It's in the grace of God. Now in Hebrews 13 verse 9 says, do not be carried about by various strange doctrines. So see, you don't want to get off the word. He says, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So we want to understand, don't get into strange doctrines. Don't get over in, oh wait, I backed up in the one. That's the one I wanted to go to. I missed it. I went back to backed up one. I want to go to Acts 11. Acts 11. Yep, I missed that one. I went and backed up one when I thought I turned a page, but I didn't. Ah, yeah, Acts 11, verse 22. Acts 11, 22. Acts 11, verse 22 says, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And what this is about is Antioch. Antioch, there's a move of God going on in Antioch. The church of Jerusalem heard about this, and it said they sent out Barnabas to go out as far as Antioch. It says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. But Barnabas here, it says, what did he saw the grace of God. See, grace of God can be seen. It's like faith. The same thing with faith. Jesus and healing man, Jesus said he saw their faith. When they let the guy down through the roof, he said he saw their faith. See, you can see, and as it says, he said the grace of God, and all of a sudden he went here and he saw what the manifestations of grace of God had done in this place. So we need to understand that grace, you know, today we talk about people go in and, you know, they do some things. I remember one time of a guy who I've known for a number of years, and he, called me and told me, he's pastor of a church, he said they had done a ministry thing, and he went in on a Saturday, went around on the streets, and well, we went around knocking on doors in people's houses and stuff, and they said, we led over 100 people to Christ. And he's talking about this, led over 100 people to Christ, and I said, well, see, grace should have a manifestation. Wouldn't you think? If 100 people accepted Christ, wouldn't there be some kind of manifestation? So this was some time after, and I asked him, I said, well, how many of these people came to church or everybody did anything? And he said, did any of them? He said, well, no. I said, there's no proof of the grace of God. There's no proof of the manifestation. See, things prove themselves. When Barnabas got up to Antioch, it wasn't, it was still going on. He could see grace manifested something. See, when there's a real move of God, you'll see it.